One of the greatest verses in the Bible is this: "My God will supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus." That's an incredibly broad statement. God says, "I will meet all your needs," A-L-L, all your needs. The problem occurs when we try to meet our needs on our own way instead of letting God meet our needs. God says, "You got to trust me." You see, those needs you have in your life, they're legitimate. And those needs need to be met. But you're going to have to decide, am I going to wait for God to meet my needs, or am I going to try to meet them in my way? You see, we're constantly faced with this decision. Will I depend on myself, or will I depend on God? We're going to look at that today. So join me as we learn how to deepen our faith in God and discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs with part one of a message called When the Odds Are Against You, taken from 2 Chronicles. And now, here's Pastor Rick.
Wise people make calculated risks. They consider the odds before they make the investment. The investment of time, energy, money, reputation. You want to know, is the cause worth the cost? Is the reward worth the risk? You need to consider the odds in life. This week I did a little research on what the odds are, and of course, it was no surprise that Las Vegas has the absolute worst odds. You may as well just give me your money. Don't, you know, save the time. If you play roulette, the casino makes 5.26% down the hatch, which means if you're betting on a $5 table and you do 30 spins an hour and you play for 4 hours, you're going to walk away from the roulette table $31 poorer than when you walked up to it. That's just an established fact. You're not going to beat it. Now, if you play slot machines, casinos make twice that amount, at least, sometimes three and four times that. And so it's just like putting money in a machine saying, here it is, it's yours, take it. Now, the odds for lottery are even worse. I don't know how any sane person plays a lottery. I really don't. The odds are you are more likely to visit the moon. You're going to visit the moon than win the jackpot in the lottery. In fact, you are 6 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to win the odds in the lottery. In fact, if you drive 10 miles to buy a California lotto ticket, you are 3 times more likely to be killed in an auto accident than to win at California Lotto. There's no way you're going to win. So, you know, save your money. Here are the odds are on how you will die. The odds are that you will die in a car wreck, 1 out of 100. That you will die by murder, the odds are 1 out of 300 in America, that you will die by murder. That you will die in a fire, 1 out of 800. That you'll die by electrocution, 1 out of 5,000. That you will die in a flood, it's 1 out of 30,000. And in a tornado, 1 out of 60,000. That you will die by a venomous bite or sting, the odds are getting way out there, 1 in 100,000. And the odds that you will be killed by lightning is 1 in 2.8 million. 1 in 2.8 million. By the way, the world record for being struck by lightning is a guy named Roy Sullivan, who's a forest ranger. He's been struck 7 times by lightning. Now, he has no hair anymore, and he answers to the name Matilda. But now, sometimes it seems the odds are against you, and sometimes it just seems that life has stacked the deck of cards for you to lose. Brian Heiss had a day like that a while back out of Provo, Utah. It's a true story. First, his apartment became flooded from a broken pipe in the apartment above his. So his manager told him to go rent a water vacuum. That's when he discovered that he had a flat tire. He changed it, went inside again to phone a friend for help, but standing in water and grabbing the phone, the electrical shock he got so startled him that it accidentally ripped the phone off the wall. Now, by the time he was ready to leave, water damage had swelled his door jam tight shut, and he had to yell to a neighbor to come and kick the door down. While this was all going on, somebody stole Brian's car. True story. However, it was almost out of gas. So he found it a few blocks away. But he still had to push it to a gas station to fill it up. That evening, Brian Heiss attended a military ceremony at his university, and he injured himself severely when he somehow sat on his bayonet. I don't want to picture that. Which had been tossed onto the front seat of his car. Doctors were able to stitch up his wound, but no one was able to resuscitate Brian's four canaries, who were crushed by falling plaster from the wet apartment ceiling. And when he got back from the university, after Brian Heiss slipped on the wet carpet again and injured his tailbone, he said he began to wonder if, quote, God wanted me dead but just kept missing. You ever had a day like that? Do you ever feel like everybody is ganging up against you? Everything, everyone is conspiring to make it a bad day or week or month or life? Today, I want us to look at what are the odds and how do you face them when they're against you? What do you do when you're facing insurmountable, overwhelming problems? One of the names of God in Hebrew is Jehovah Nissi, which says, I am the God who defends you. I am the God who protects you. I am your banner. I defend you when the odds are against you. Now, one of the great stories, examples of this in the Bible, is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. If you have a Bible, you might open there. If you don't, it's okay, because all the major verses are there on the outline. But the story goes that three enemy nations of Israel decided to team up against Israel and go to war against Israel at the same time. And so they're going to kind of tag team Israel into submission. The king of Israel at this time was a guy named Jehoshaphat. I mean, he's got a triple threat. The odds are 3-1. Three enemy nations are going to come to battle against little Israel. You would think that this would be a story of defeat and devastation, but in the true ending, Jehoshaphat wins. He beats the odds because he did everything right. Now, it's a wonderful story that explains God's protection over the nation of Israel, but God doesn't put these stories in the Bible just to teach us history lessons. There are principles that are there that we are to learn how to handle overwhelming odds. How to handle when you're in a battle of life, and some of you are in a financial battle right now, and some of you are in a relationship battle. And some of you are in a battle with a disease. And these same principles apply to the battles of life you're going to face this week. Even when it seems like there's no way out. Even when it seems like you're going under for the last time. What do you do? Number one, turn to God first. Turn to God first. Before you do anything else, you go directly to God. You don't pass go, you don't collect 200, you go straight to God and say, God, I am overwhelmed. You ask, God, what do you think about this situation? And you try to get God's perspective on the problem. The reason why is because, of course, your perspective is quite limited, while God's perspective is eternal. He can see the beginning and the end. He can see past, present, and future all at once. And so you need to get a larger picture of what the problem really is that seems so overwhelming to you right now. Now, as I said last week, too often we see prayer as a last resort rather than as our first thought. I mean, prayer is usually something you do way down the line after you've tried everything else. And some people say, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. Like, that's the last thing. You know, you've tried all the major things that should work. Well, all we can do now is pray. And your friend says, has it come to that? You know, is it so hopeless that all we can do is pray? Listen, prayer should be your first choice, not your last resort. And if you want God to help you overcome the odds in any area of your life, you need to turn to Him first. Notice verse 1 and 3 of 2 Chronicles 20. After this, the armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Menuhites, which, by the way, are related to the Perizzites, And not to mention the stalactites and the stalagmites. Of course, we're all familiar with them. But these three enemies declared war on Jehoshaphat. He was afraid, so he decided to ask the Lord what to do. Now, notice it says, after this. Would you circle those two words? After this, there came a battle. After what? Well, you have to go back and read the previous chapter. And in 2 Chronicles 19, there is a story of a great national revival, a spiritual awakening. There's great joy in the country. There's prosperity. There's blessing. It's good times. And it says, after this, there came a battle. Now, we all know this principle, that with every high, there is also a low. With every mountaintop, there is a valley. And after every victory, there is always a letdown. And with every blessing, there comes a testing. Now, you may not be in a battle right now, but you're going to be in one tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after that. Because you may be in a time of blessing right now, you're soaring, you're on the mountaintop, but you're going to come down eventually. So you need to expect blessings in your life, but you also need to expect battles in your life. You're going to have difficult times.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called When the Odds Are Against You, from the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Rick's going to be right back, so please stay with us. You know, Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, and internationally for more than 30 years, and he's the author of many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. If you've been helped through Rick's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. So please connect with us at the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org, or call us, 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call us at 1-800-600-5004. There's more Daily Hope with Rick Warren coming right up.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now notice the king's first reaction. It says he was fearful. It says he was afraid. Now that's a normal reaction. That's quite reasonable. You hear about three enemy nations teaming up, ganging up against you, and they're going to come pound you at one time. It's normal to be afraid. Listen, the things that are overwhelming your life right now, your problem is not that you're afraid of them. It's not your fear. That's not your problem. Your problem is what you do with your fear. When you're afraid in a situation, you feel overwhelmed, stressed out, the odds against you, do you let that fear demotivate you, destabilize you, depress you, discourage you? Does it cause you to want to just throw in the towel and say, I give up, even before the battle starts? You want to say, oh, well, you know, I can't make this work. Why should I even try? Why even put forth the effort? Why even go into battle? Because I'm going to lose, so I give up. The odds are stacked against me. I'm not even going to try. Never let an impossible situation intimidate you. Let it motivate you. Say, motivate me. How in the world can the problems in my life motivate me? Let it motivate you to pray more. Let it motivate you to trust more. Let it motivate you to expect more from God. Let it motivate you to depend more on God. Let it motivate you to get your priorities right, to decide what's not important, worth doing. Let it motivate you and turn to God first. Now, that is exactly what this guy did, Jehoshaphat. He headed straight to God. And then number two, he talked to God. You turn to God first, then you talk to God about your situation. Now, there is no problem that is too big, and there is no problem that is too small for you to pray about. And in verse 5 there in 2 Chronicles 20, it says, King Jehoshaphat went and stood before them, that was the entire nation, and he prayed aloud. That's a good thing to do. Sometimes praying aloud keeps your mind focused. When you pray in your mind, have you noticed sometimes your mind wanders? It doesn't do that when you're talking aloud. So sometimes you just need to pray aloud. Now, it is important that when the odds are stacked against you, there is a certain way you need to pray that is different from the way you normally pray. And Jehoshaphat gives us a model example of the three things you need to pray when you feel overwhelmed. First, notice he says in verse 6, "Are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you." The first thing you do is remind yourself of who God is. I need to remind myself of who God is. Before I talk to God about the problem, before I focus on it, I need to focus on God, and I need to remind myself that God is bigger than the problem that I am facing. And you say, "God, you're all powerful. Nothing is too hard for you. With God, all things are possible. You rule over all the kingdoms and nations." The king here is realizing that three enemy nations are coming at him, and yet he stops and he says, "God, you're bigger than all the nations. I just want to keep that in mind, that you are bigger than anything I will ever face." So I remind myself of who God is. The second thing is I remind myself of what he's done in the past. And I need to recall the times when God has helped me. And I remember the miracles that he's already done in my life and the way that he's helped me. And in verse 7 he says, "Didn't you drive out those who lived in this land when your people arrived?" He's going all the way back to Moses and Joshua. He said, "Hey, didn't you give us this land? And didn't you do many miracles that got us here in the first place?" And he recalls, and if you read the whole passage there, I hope you'll go read verses 6 to 12, back the whole chapter sometime today. He recalls all the way that God has worked in the past. And he's saying, "I know who you are, and I know what you've done in the past." And then number 3, he says, "I want you to do it again. Ask God for help now." He says, "Oh God, won't you stop them? How about an instant replay, Lord? How about a repeat performance? Do it again." Earlier in verse 9, it's not there on your outline, he mentions three kinds of situations. He talks about tragedies and physical needs and material needs. He talks about plagues and famine and stuff. He says, "You know, God, none of this is too hard for you, and you've helped us in the past, so do it again." His prayer is actually built around three questions. Are you not? Will you not? Did you not? And will you not? First, he says, "Are you not God? You're in charge." And the answer is, "Yes, you are in charge, and you're big enough to handle this." "Did you not help us in the past?" And the answer to that is, "Yes, you did help us in the past." And then he said, "Will you not do it again? Won't you do it again?" And the answer is, "Yes, you'll do it again." Now that's the way you need to pray when you're overwhelmed. No matter what the situation is, remind yourself first of who God is, remind yourself of what he's done, and ask God to do it again. Once you've done that, now you're ready to talk about your problem. And step 3 is, tell God exactly how I feel. I need to tell God exactly how I feel. I need to confess my inability and my inadequacy. And I need to be honest if I'm afraid, if I'm scared, if I'm frightened or threatened. And I say, "God, this is exactly how I feel." And in verse 12, he says, "We are powerless." He's talking to God. This is a prayer. "We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us." You ever felt that way? You ever felt powerless? Ever felt that there was a problem in your marriage or in your career or somewhere in your life that you thought, "This is overwhelming. There's no way I'm gonna succeed in this." You start the beginning of the week and think, "Oh, maybe I can handle it." But about Wednesday, you're out of power. And Friday, you're going, "I don't know if I can face another week of this." Maybe you felt like this poem. "The world had a hopeful beginning, but man spoiled it all by sinning. We trust that the story will end to God's glory, but right now the other side's winning." Ever felt like that? You pick up the newspaper and it looks like the bad guys are winning.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, he's going to wrap up today's program with a closing thought. But first, I'd love to tell you about the Daily Hope website. It's rickwarren.org. Log on there today and you can get the entire message you heard. You can get message notes, social media links. You can sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on right now, rickwarren.org. And also, you know, we don't have to tell you that life can be filled with tough situations, stress, crisis, discouragement, depression, failure. And the Bible offers time-tested answers to life's difficult questions. So taking you inside the lives of biblical characters like Moses and Paul and Jesus himself, Pastor Rick has written this book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. In it, he shares their stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights that you can put to work right away in your own life. Now, today, we want to send you this special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions gives you keys to a better life. Change may not come overnight, but with patience and prayer, you will see a difference. And in the process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain the purpose and significance for which you were created. So please give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. 1-800-600-5004. That number again, 800-600-5004. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
So when you're faced with insurmountable or overwhelming problems, what are you supposed to do? The answer is, look directly to God and say, God, what do you think about this situation? Prayer is not our last resort, it's our first choice. And this helps you get insight into God's perspective. You say, God, I need wisdom. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and he will give to all men liberally, and he doesn't criticize us for asking. Now, here's why you need to ask God for wisdom. Because God can see it all. He can see the past, and he can see the present, and he can see the future all at once. God isn't limited by space or time. So if you want a larger perspective, if you want a bigger picture on your problem and on your life, what you need to do is get God's perspective. You know, one of the names of God in Hebrew is Jehovah Nissi. Now, literally, Jehovah Nissi means, I am your banner. But what that means is when men in battle would carry a banner out onto the battlefield, they were saying, God is our defender. God is our protector. God is with us regardless of what the odds are against us. When you understand Jehovah Nissi, God says, I am your defender. I'm your protector. Then you're never again going to let an impossible situation intimidate you. In fact, let me just say it this way. Never let any situation intimidate you. Let it motivate you. Let it motivate you to pray more, to trust more, to depend on God more, to praise more, to thank more. Let it motivate you to expect more from God and to get your priorities right and decide what's most important and what's not worth worrying about. There is no problem that is too big, and there is no problem that is too small for you to pray about. If it's big enough for you to worry about, it's big enough for you to pray about. The Bible tells us that God knows even the hairs on your head, and he's numbered them all. Now, for some of us, that's not too hard. But God is intimately interested in every detail of your life. So when you're faced with overwhelming odds, you need to pray the prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. And there are three parts to it. There are actually three questions. Are you not? Did you not? Will you not? Remember these three. They're the basis of what to pray in a crisis. Are you not? Did you not? Will you not? First you say, are you not the God who is in control? Are you not the God who is great? Are you not the God who's big enough to handle all this situation? You focus on the character of God. Then you move to the did you not question. Have you not helped us in the past? Did you not help other people? And you remember all of what God has done. You remember who he is. You remember what he's done. And then finally you ask, will you not? Will you not just do it again? God, you've done it in the past. I need you to do it again. I need you to do a miracle. I need you to help me. I need you to be my defender, my Jehovah Nissi. The Bible says we're powerless against this army that's about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's the thing you want to pray today when you're faced with overwhelming odds, when you feel like you're under attack, when it feels like everybody is against you. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are upon you. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll continue to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program has been sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.